My name is Abby Sternbrick, and you're listening to my show, Making the Cut. Drumroll, please. For the genre of the week, which is action. This genre has been extremely successful since the time it landed on our screens to today. This genre has always been a hit or miss for me personally, but the movie we're talking about that we're associated with the action genre is spectacular. Not spectacular, but it's actually a pretty good word to say it, but amazing. Awesome. I don't know how it can be described by all those words. The movie being Avengers Endgame, which I have to say is one of the best movies in any cinematic universe. I have high respect for the movie series since it first came out 10 years ago. So now I'll stop talking about it because I don't want to give too much away before the movie discussion. Don't forget, later on, when we happen upon the review, my good friend John is going to join us in our discussion. Fun fact, me, him, and a group of our friends went to a midnight viewing of the movie the day it came out. Also, funny enough, we had our National Honor Society this ceremony 3 hours before, and the entire time we were so worried we would not make it. But we did, thankfully. And like I always say, sit back, relax, maybe even get some popcorn, I'm just saying, and be prepared for a good time. Maybe not even a good time, a great time. No, the best time. Okay, so the history of the genre. Let's put on our history caps like we're in school mode. We got it on. You know this is the drill. We've been here now. This is our third episode. Let's get into it. This film genre actually began with the silent era serial films around the time of Edward S. Porter's classic action western, The Great Train Robbery in 1903. It is an extremely successful and influential mode of popular cinema that foregrounds spectacular movements of body, vehicles, and weapons and state-of-the-art special effects. These highly dynamic elements, with the actor's physical performance a central attraction, are usually held together by a fast-paced, goal-oriented narrative structure. We ain't talking about a narrow structure. That's like a building or something. Anyway, some staple movies of this genre that must be included, well, at least in my opinion, are Big Hero 6, yes, I know, but still, John Wick, Inglourious Basterds, Lucy, Avengers, and Rumble in the Bronx, The Karate Kid, Shanghai Noon, Captain Blood, The Adventures of Robin Hood, and Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, which won Best Foreign Film Oscar and 3 others, Best Art Direction, Best Cinematography, and Best Score. These are movies that have been in our lives, all of our lives, through when we were children to now. Whether you're old or young, you've definitely at least heard of a good portion on that list. And what I like about action is that the movie can be like Big Hero 6 or like Robin Hood, but also then be like Inglourious Basterds or the John Wick. It's just, it can encompass all of these different like age levels. But the main action that centers around a male action hero or protagonist, which is portrayed by these prominent actors. So I'm going to come at you with a list. Be prepared. Let's go. We got Bruce Lee, Steven Seagal, Sylvester Stallone, Harrison Ford, Bruce Willis, Chuck Norris, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Douglas Fairbanks Sr., Bruce Lee, Charles Bronson, Steve McQueen, Jean-Paul Belmondo, Chuck Norris, and Jean-Claude Van Damme. These are all actors that we've, again, seen throughout our lives. We've watched them we've grown up with them as we've watched them on the big screen. And I feel like all of these actors have played such an important role in everyone's lives since we were little. And I know I keep on repeating this with these action films, but they're just, I don't know, they're such a big part of my life. And I know from my friends, they've been a big part of their lives too. And there are some action movies that have actually won Academy Awards, which include The Dark Knight, 1917, Black Panther, don't know where that voice came from, Avatar, Ford v. Ferrari, Mad Max, Skyfall, The Revenant, American Sniper, and many more that would be too many to list. Though a lot of the superhero movies like The Avengers or DC, excluding The Dark Knight and Black Panther, are not known to win like Teen Choice Awards or Kid Choice Awards rather than being put up for these mega awards because they feel like they're not, aren't serious enough, aren't meant to be up there, even though they definitely are. I don't know the thought process. I like comedy. These movies are amazing, but yet they're just not getting the justice they deserve from these Academy Awards. From combing through my research, I have found that the movie, the action genre movies are not on a decline whatsoever. They're still enjoyed by all types of people, though particularly aimed at male audiences ages 13 to mid-30s. Well, at least traditionally, as I, for one, am not a male, and still love a good action flick, and I know a bunch of girls who like it, and I really like how with the with Carol Danvers or Pepper, and how they all just sort of showed how, like, girls can be superheroes too when it's been normally a male-concentrated fan base, which I just thought was really interesting, and it really deserved, like, more justice than it did, because I know it got a lot of scrutiny, but I don't know. I feel they did a really good job. But moving on to the film techniques, a lot of it came from the John Woo, who shaped the genre with scenes of stylish choreography, especially in his movie The Killer in 1989. Woo films were noted for slow motion sequences and face-to-face standoffs, which would influence later works of both Quentin Tarantino and Robert Rodriguez. And with that, the tone of these films normally include a resourceful heroine against incredible odds, life-threatening circumstances, or an evil villain. It is also seen in action-oriented survival films have commonly been set in harsh, uncivilized locales, a desert, an island, a searing jungle, or a cold polar area, where an individual or group must struggle against the force of nature to keep alive. The threats of death, the selfishness of other individuals in the group, and other forces test the spirit, ingenuity, willpower, altruism of the survivors and under these grueling circumstances. So that is the end of our history of genre section. We're going to take off our history thinking caps. We're going to put them aside. We're getting into the movie discussion. And as always, I will give my spoiler alert because we are talking about the movie. This movie is such an icon that it get if you don't want it spoiled. But seriously, you should have seen it by now if you're so concerned. Though if you have not seen it and do not want spoilers, you might want to log off now. You are warned, but please stay with us. This is, I've said every single episode, my favorite part. I love the discussion, that atmosphere that it brings, and hearing other people's perspectives. And again, I'm going to pull from Rotten Tomatoes to get you guys the most accurate synopsis of the movie and some fast facts thrown at y'all. Get ready for the segment, Quick Facts with Abby. I mean, who else would it be? All right, let's go. Adrift in space with no food or water, Tony Stark sends a message to Pepper Potts as his oxygen supply starts to dwindle. Meanwhile, the remaining Avengers, Thor, Black Widow, Captain America, and Bruce Banner must figure out a way to bring back their vanquished allies for an epic showdown with Thanos, the evil demigod who decimated the planet and the universe. Sounds nerve-wracking. Anyway, some of the basic facts is the rating is PG-13 for sequences of sci-fi violence and action and some language. The genre is action and adventure, drama, science fiction, and fantasy, hence why we're talking about with the action portion. It is directed by Joe Russo and Anthony Russo, but it's written by Christopher Marcus and Stephen McFeely, which is different from what normally we have the director writing and directing it, but this time it's two separate people, which I sort of like to see. It's different. And it was in theaters April 26, 2019 worldwide and on disc / streaming July 30th, 2019. The runtime was 182 minutes and the studio is Marvel Studios. And the movie also got 80% from the tomato meter and a 92% from audience score. And again, this is the most difference between the tomato meter and the audience score, which I find extremely interesting. As we can see, the audience definitely thought of it more highly than actual critics, which I feel like if you've only seen the movie once, you would critique it worse than if you've seen it multiple times, which the audience probably sees it multiple times before they review it. But me and John get into that a bit later. And even though Marvel's Endgame was one of the highest grossing films of the year, they received no nomination for any Academy Awards. They were up for a BAFTA and Actors Guild Award, which they came out winning. As always, they are put up for Teen Choice, Kids Choice, and MTV Awards, which they came out victorious, just showing that even if this movie was more grossing than any other film on the Oscars, which I don't know if it was for all of them, but it did do very well. I feel like I should have been at least nominated for something, but that's my personal opinion. Now we're done with segment of Quick Facts with Abby, and we're moving on to my opinion, whether you like it or not. Like I always say, let's get into it. That being, the Marvel's Avengers Endgame was a cinematic masterpiece. The movie did not just exceed my expectations, But they just blew them to smithereens, completely gone. After waiting 10 years for this final movie, I was very nervous that the film would not be able to meet my expectations, but I was gratefully mistaken. Though I will say the movie I saw was completely different from what I thought it was to be. So like right off the bat, I was a little bit unsure about how I felt just because I was expecting just something so different. Yet, next day after seeing it, I was invited to see it again, and I confirmed my belief of how amazing it was because I was able to watch it for the second time for what it was, and it just showed me how amazing it is. And there was a scene in particular that does get me every time, which was when Iron Man dies and Spider-Man's holding him, and you see how much this loss will hurt him. Much of a mirror of when Peter vanished and Tony was the one to hold him. It was a scene that brought me to tears, but I thought it was the most moving scene I have ever witnessed. I also found the whole aspect of them fighting a past Thanos to be very interesting and to see how that played out. And I won't keep on rambling anymore. We're going to get on to talking about...
You know, it's actually interesting. I kind of have two opinions of the film. I have an opinion for just when I walked out of the theater that Thursday night, late April 2019, and then an opinion for any time I watch it after that. My honest opinion of the film, I thought it was like a 7.5 the first time I saw it, and I'll explain why I think that in a second, but like, it did definitely in my head get better, because now when I watch it, I'm like, oh, that's a 9.5, maybe even a 10. So it's definitely better in my eyes, but yeah, at first 7.5, but now a 9.
That's exactly how I... Oh, sorry. But that's exactly how I felt when I like discussed my opinion, as you heard. I thought the first time we were just coming in with these high expectations of a completely different film. Like, anything that happened in this film was the complete opposite of what I would have had. I mean, remember, me and Alex even had a bet that, like, Spider-Man would have stayed dead. Like, completely different. But looking at it now, after watching it again...
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think... I 100% agree, and I think there were kind of two factors to that. The first factor is because this was like the culmination event. Everyone expected like a fight scene every second, but in the film, there's three fight scenes, two of which last about 15 seconds. And then the last one, obviously, it's, you know, one of the best things they've ever done in Marvel Studios, but still, it's just one fight scene. So I think the fact that it was 3 hours in one fight scene, that took a lot of people for a spin, because like, oh, this is supposed to be the epic finale, but it's just conversation. And then I also think that the first hour was jarring because it was like, oh, hey, let's go 5 years in the future. And I never expected that. And oh, hey, let's make all these characters things you never expected. And like now when I watch the first hour, it goes by within a second. I feel like I've only been sitting down for probably a minute at most. But the first time I saw it, it was jarring. Like just to see where Thor was, where Hulk was, where Cap was, where Iron Man was. It was so much to handle and kind of take in. Like there needed to be like a hour-long grace period in between the first and second hour, just like for people to just sit and figure out what was going on, which like I said before, I think once that shock is gone, the hour is perfect. It's a completely fine part of the film. It's just learning it for the first time, which definitely put me off of the film a bit.
Yeah, definitely. I feel like they could have gone about it a little bit different way, but after like watching it like four more times after that first time, I have to say I'm at peace with how they did it, and I don't know if I'd want it to be different now. I mean, it's also like just getting used to it and watching it so much. Like, yeah, as I was saying, like, I think everyone's sort of at peace with it, because I think we've all watched it so much. I know my dad's watched it like 100 times over. I know you've watched it. Like, how many times? Like, it's a lot, I know. 7 times? Wow, I thought my 5 was a lot. But it's just that type of movie that you have to rewatch over and over again to gain new information. And to segue sort of from that, I want to sort of get into the characters. And I know this is a little bit like, whoop. But I really want to talk about the characters.
Okay. Well, I mean, obviously, you know, I have to give a shout out to my boy Cap in Iron Man. Cap, I think his trilogy is definitely the best of the MCU, and he has the most solid films. And then Iron Man, he's just someone I grew up with. I have to love both of them. Chris Evans, Robert Downey Jr. give so much life to their respective characters. So you have to absolutely love them. There's no way you can't watch the MCU and not love those people. But of course, I think standouts were definitely like Paul Rudd's Ant-Man. He's really made the role his own. He's made it comical, but also entertaining, action-filled, and also serious at the same time. And yeah, Black Widow, Scarlett Johansson did such a great job. I'd say those are probably the four MVP.
I have like similar like ideas of you. We like have talked about this a million times, but I do have some differentiation in my favorite. Iron Man, of course, is always going to be up there. Love him. I was Team Iron Man when the Captain America versus Iron Man Civil War. I will always love him. He'll always be one of my favorites. But I also have to say that you didn't mention Spider-Man, which I know he wasn't in the movie for a lot, but I thought that ending scene, as I like I said earlier in my opinion, it like owned the entire film. Like that father son like sort of relationship that you like seek accumulating up until the end. Like it seems like he was more destroyed with Iron Man's death than even Pepper Potts herself. And I don't know. He's one of my favorites. He'll always be one of my favorites. He's my favorite Spider-Man that's ever been created. But again, to agree with you, I loved Black Widow. She will always be one of my favorites. I didn't think she deserved to die. I think it should have been Hawkeye, Jeremy Renner's character. But I think that's all of my like I think I only have like a top three. Maybe we could include what's the robot's name,
Nebula?
how we see her like sort of turn good, the blue one.
Yeah, Nebula is pretty good, and that just does remind me that like it's so easy to like, pick up all these characters and in doing so drop some on the way. Like it's so easy to be like, oh, I love these guys, and when you like bring them to your arms, you like, drop some others and forget about a few others. But I think like all the characters kind of like deserve, they're all nice in their own times and like help you find joy in different types of ways. And like it's so hard to say that there's one genuinely bad one. And like even when I left Endgame the first time and I didn't like what they did with Hulk or Thor, watching it now, I'm like, oh wait, that's actually really good. I don't see a problem with it. So it's just like they all kind of suit their own things. I don't even think I have like character-wise any issues with Endgame.
Oh, I can disagree. I did not like Hawkeye.
Ronan?
What was his like
Clinton.
real name? Do we know? Clint Barton, yeah. Did not like him. I thought like I don't know. I mean, I know he was sort of supposed to be like that on purpose. But I still I don't know. I've had issues with him since the first Avengers film. He's never been like my favorite. That's just my personal opinion, but the rest of the characters I thought like did well and like were like no, I think everyone was necessary and was there for a reason. And I think the Russo brothers did a
100%. I think they even definitely gave like every character like one big like awesome moment, even if it was only a couple seconds. Each character definitely got a really fun part, I'd say.
yeah. And even like with the whole like woman's like fight
Yes.
scene thing, do you remember that one? Like, yeah, I think he did like a good. They did like a good job of like giving them like their moment because a lot of action movies are based on male characters, and a lot of times they don't hire women to be the woman to be the hero. They hire them just to be
Definitely. I
the
think it was,
romance.
yeah, 100%. I think it was really smart on their part to kind of continue this whole thing of a lot of our women are great, which all of them are. Like, I can't, like, you can't lie about that. They're all really awesome. So to just see them literally on the same screen, not like implied, but like right there fighting next to each other, is definitely a rewarding moment for everyone. Yeah. And they handled it beautifully.
Yeah, I think they did good. Cause it, some I know a lot of people do like sort of hate on that scene compared, which I can get it. It was a little bit cheesy, but I think it was done well. Like it could have been so much worse if it was done like any other direction.
Yeah, I mean, I think you could say they did it well if everyone's only complaint was, oh, but how would they all be in the same spot? And like, you're just fishing for things to say at that point. If like Marvel's giving you their biggest and most complicated action sequence yet, I don't think that an issue like, oh, but how do they know they're there really matters or applies? No, they wouldn't. But, I mean, this whole thing's complicated and ridiculous, so enjoy this. And, like, for that to be the only complaint just means it worked.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And, like, going on with, like, you're sort of, like, mentioning, like, the plot hole of it, we're going to move on to the flaws of plot holes in the movies and, like, total any, like, rush plot, slow plot. And, yes, that is I definitely agree that was where plot hole could have aroused, but arised? Yeah, that's the word. I don't know English, apparently. But anyway, I think that is definitely where one is.
I don't think there's big plot holes, but I do know there were scrambles to finish. Like, plots... Another thing that pissed me off so much in the film was plot lines that were just kind of dropped and forgotten about. They brought back an endgame to, like, actually, like, finish. Like, Peggy is a great example. Like, the last time we saw Steve's compass with Peggy's picture was the first Avenger. And you're just telling me, oh, now it's important again in Endgame the second time we're seeing it. And there's no issue with that, but it's just like there's definitely small things throughout the film where it's like, okay, this is stuff that should have been building for the whole franchise, not like once in their first film and then here now. So just small things like that. I wouldn't say there's big plot holes though. There aren't. But like, yeah, just small things.
Yeah, I agree with that. I didn't like how they ended Steve's character. Like, didn't Peggy, like, have a whole entire life? Like, she got married to someone else. And, like, yes, that's very sad. But I don't think he should have, like, gone back in time and, like, stayed and everything like that. I felt like that's sort of, like, a finished plot that happened. And I thought he should have been, like, happy, like, in, like, the future. Or if he does go back to the past where he, like, I guess, quote-unquote, belongs...
You know, I have thought about that, and a lot of people hate on it. I don't hate it. I just think there needed to be something before it. Like, I feel like... So, I do... Like, I genuinely, like, understand what they mean. Like, oh, Cap's worked nonstop in all his films and throughout the whole MCU. He's been fighting nonstop, sacrificing nonstop.
I guess I can see that point of view, but... I don't know. I don't really accept it compared to some of the other ending storylines. Like, I thought even though it was so sad seeing Iron Man die, I feel like that sort of put his character, you know, to rest. While Captain America just, I didn't, yeah. But I don't know. Hey guys, this is Future Abby. I just want to let you all know that there is an audio issue, so John was switched to my phone. That is why it sounds a little bit off than normal, but it's all the same stuff. So get back, sit back, relax, and enjoy your regularly scheduled program. But I mean, still, I don't know. The whole entire thing was a little bit off to me. Were there any, like, other endings that were, like, off to you?
Not really, like, except for all that felt natural, and honestly, like, even if they did feel off, like, my opinions of the film, every time I watch it, just always changed to me liking it more than I did last. So, honestly, I was fine with it. It was, like, Thor joining the Guardians of the Galaxy, that was fine. I mean, I was a bit frustrated with Black Widows, but that's just because, like, you know, it was sad. It wasn't like I didn't like what they did. I was just sad that she died. Like, everyone else's felt completely normal and justified. I can't really say I didn't like any of the endings. Honestly, like, the overall ending, how everything was wrapped up, I thought it was done masterfully.
Yeah, I have to agree with you. I think everyone sort of got wrapped up into, like, with a little bow. And I was actually, this whole, like, flaw topics has turned into our topic of discussing the ending, which... When I ask all my guests, is there any grievances with the ending? I guess there is none, except for me, the Captain America, and for you, none at all. But I do have to, the ending was nice. Was I crying? Yes.
But I feel like, we all were.
I feel like any good movie makes you cry. But I mean, also, every single movie makes me cry already.
That's fair.
I don't know. And the funeral scene, oh my God. Oh my God, that was like... I don't know.
Yeah. I choked up for that. I didn't cry, which was a little odd, but I think it's because that death felt right. You know, it wasn't like to me, Black Widow's felt like a tragedy. That's why I cried. Well, like, I choked for Iron Man's because I'm like, it fits his character. But obviously, that's not everyone. Like, I'm one of the minorities who didn't cry during the funeral scene. What can I say?
I don't know if you heard me. It was like me and Quinn, like, literally crying our eyes. I think we're like one of the loudest criers, like, in the theater. It was bad. Like, that and Spider-Man, like, holding Iron Man, like, at the end. Oh, my
God. Yeah.
So, now we're going to get into the next segment of my show. You're going to help me with this part. It's rating the genre and the movie. In total, my rating of the movie was a 10. I think they, like, after watching it a few times, they did everything right. Maybe if I was judging it off my first watch off the bat, it would have been, like, an 8. But now it's a solid 10, and nothing can, like, change my mind on that. What about
you? I definitely have to ride that wave out with you. Like, mine the first time, like I said before, 7.5, but it definitely magnifies every viewing. Like, now I'm probably at a 9.5, because I don't think you can have a perfect film. But I do really, really love the film. The only thing that brings it down a bit is I think they treat some moments less seriously than it should be treated, but it's not an issue. But it still flows beautifully. It's great action, great characters. Like, it's literally just, like, nitpicks at this point if I make any complaints about the film.
Yeah, that's how I feel, too, when I try to, like, find a lot of the flaws. And then now we're going to rate, like, the total movie genre on a scale of 1 to 10. I gave it a 6. I don't really like action films except for, like, the Marvel Cinematic Universe and, like, DC stuff I like a lot. And we've discussed DC before, so you know my opinions on all of that. And that's another topic for another episode, maybe in the future. But yeah, I don't know. It would be like a 6 for me. I'm not into a lot of action other than this.
I think it's hard to grade action as a genre because action and, like, your first episode, thriller, but I guess we'll talk about action for this one, they're both kind of like supplements. They're vitamin supplements for other genres. I don't think you could have action without having another plot driving it. Like, why is there action? Oh, because a guy is jealous of a, you know, a girl he likes with this other guy, so he fights the guy. Or why is there action? Oh, there's this comedic thing that someone lost a donut. Or why is there action? There's a drama of someone, you know, wiping out half the world and people need to avenge it. So action, I think if you were to just make a regular action film, it'd be kind of bland and whatever. So it'd be a 5. But when it's put with the right genres, when it's mixed with the right special ingredients, I think you could get like an 8.
Yeah, I would agree on that, just because I do think you need a lot of, like, this is like a sci-fi movie with action in it, like sci-fi superhero. If you read, like, the description on, like, the on Google, if you look it up. But, an action movie on its own is just not, I'm not a big fan. And now for our final rating is the Richter scale of Did It Make Abby Cry? We've done this for every single episode. This one gets a wholehearted 5. I've already said I've cried like a baby. Every single time I watch this movie, I cry. Doesn't matter if I know what's going to happen. This is like me watching Marley and Me. I know Marley's going to die every single time, but am I bawling my eyes out? Yes, I am. Every time I see that ending scene.
Yeah, I mean, it just shows how good the film is. It's the only film I've ever watched where, well, it's one of 6 films which made me cry once, but it's the only film which has made me cry twice and choke up twice. It's like completely different, you know, moments in the film, which is impressive for a movie to do, I will say. So, yeah. Definitely a good one.
Okay, so I want to thank you for your time. And what I allow every guest to do is if they want to plug themselves on social media, they can. You don't have to, but if you want to, if my brother did video games, I know Dustin did his Instagram. If you have anything, yeah.
Okay, well, if Dustin did it, I have to meet it, I guess. My Insta is _John_Rosenberg_. That simple. Yeah. But yeah, thank you for having me.
Yeah, any final messages?
I don't know. Yeah. I don't really have anything.
You're the only one who hasn't had a final message. I guess if you're gonna leave it like that.
Okay, we'll have a final message. I'd say that what makes Marvel Cinematic Universe special, I think, is the fact that it is able to grip so many genres. And it just goes back to what I said about action. I think if it was just fighting, it it wouldn't be nearly as successful. But the fact that they are able to like mix with like psychological thriller we see in Winter Soldier, emotional drama we see in Endgame, psychedelic thriller we see in Doctor Strange, and just this mix of genres and the celebration of it all, that's what really makes it special. So just keep in mind that if you mix things together, it just makes it better.
But I mean, still, I don't know. The whole entire thing was a little bit off to me. Were there any, like, other endings that were, like, off to you?
Not really. Like, except for all that felt natural. And honestly, like, even if they did feel off, like, my opinions of the film, every time I watch it, just always changed to me liking it more than I did last. So, honestly, I was fine with endings. Like, Thor joining the Guardians of the Galaxy, that was fine. I mean, I was a bit frustrated with Black Widows, but that's just because, like, you know, it was sad. It wasn't like I didn't like what they did. I was just sad that she died. Like, everyone else's felt completely normal and justified. I can't really say I didn't like any of the endings. Honestly, like, the overall ending, how everything was wrapped up, I thought it was done masterfully.
Yeah, I have to agree with you. I think everyone sort of got wrapped up into, like, with a little bow. And I was actually, this whole, like, flawed topics has turned into our topic of discussing the ending, which when I ask all my guests, is there any grievances with the ending? I guess there is none, except for me, the Captain America, and for you, none at all. But I do have to say, the ending was nice. Was I crying? Yes.
But we all were.
I feel like any good movie makes you cry, but I mean, also every single movie makes me cry already.
That's fair.
I don't know. And the funeral scene, oh my god. Oh my god, that was like, I don't know.
Yeah. I choked up for that. I didn't cry, which was a little odd, but I think it's because that death felt light. You know, it wasn't like, to me, Black Widows felt like a tragedy. That's why I cried. Well, like, I choked for Iron Man's because I'm like, it fits his character. But obviously, that's not everyone. Like, I'm one of the minorities who didn't cry during the funeral scene. What can I say?
I don't know if you heard me. It was, like, me and Quinn, like, literally crying our ass. I think we're, like, one of the loudest criers, like, in the theater. It was bad. Like, that and Spider-Man, like, holding Iron Man, like, at the end. Oh, my.
Yeah.
So now we're going to get into the next segment of my show. You're going to help me with this part. It's rating the genre and the movie in total. My rating of the movie was a 10. I think they, like, after watching it a few times, they did everything right. Maybe if I was judging it off my first watch off the bat, it would have been, like, an 8. But now it's a solid 10, and nothing can, like, change my mind on that. What about
you? Yeah, I definitely have to ride that wave out with you. Like, mine the first time, like I said before, 7.5, but it definitely magnifies every viewing. Like, now I'm probably at a 9.5, because I don't think you can have a perfect film, but I do really, really love the film. The only thing that brings it down a bit is I think they treat some moments less seriously than it should be treated, but it's not an issue. But it still flows beautifully. It's great action, great characters. Like, it's literally just, like, nitpicks at this point if I make any complaints about the film.
Yeah, that's how I feel, too, when I try to, like, find a lot of the flaws. And then now we're going to rate, like, the total movie genre on a scale of 1 to 10. I gave it a 6. I don't really like action films except for, like, the Marvel Cinematic Universe and, like, DC stuff I like a lot. And we've discussed DC before, so you know my opinions on all of that. And that's another topic for another episode, maybe in the future. But yeah, I don't know. It would be like a 6 for me. I'm not into a lot of action other than this.
I think it's hard to grade action as a genre because action and, like, your first episode, thriller, but I guess we'll talk about action for this one. They're both kind of like supplements. They're vitamin supplements for other genres. I don't think you could have action without having another plot driving it. Like, why is there action? Oh, because a guy is jealous of a girl he likes with this other guy, so he fights the guy. Or why is there action? Oh, there's this comedic thing that someone lost a donut. Or why is there action? There's a drama of someone, you know, wiping out half the world and people need to avenge it. So, action, I think if you were to just make a regular action film, it would be kind of bland and whatever. So it would be a 5. But when it's put with the right genres, when it's mixed with the right special ingredients, I think you get like an 8.
Yeah, I would agree on that just because I do think you need a lot of this is like a sci-fi movie with action in it, like sci-fi superhero. If you read like the description on on Google, if you look it up. But yeah, an action movie on its own is just not, I'm not a big fan. And now for our final rating is the Richter scale of did it make Abby cry? We've done this for every single episode. This one gets a wholehearted 5. I've already said I've cried like a baby every single time I watch this movie. I cry. Doesn't matter if I know what's going to happen. This is like me watching Marley and Me. I know Marley's going to die every single time, but am I bawling my eyes out? Yes, I am every time I say that ending scene.
Yeah, I mean, it just shows how good the film is. It's the only film I've ever watched where, well, it's one of six films which made me cry once, but it's the only film which has made me cry twice and choke up twice. It's like completely different, moments in the film, which is impressive for a movie to do, I will say. So, yeah, definitely a good one.
Okay, so I want to thank you for your time. And what I allow every guest to do is if they want to plug themselves on social media, they can. You don't have to, but if you want to, if my brother did video games, I know Dustin did his Instagram, if you have anything, yeah.
Okay, well, if Dustin did it, I have to meet it, I guess. My Insta is _ John Rosenberg _. That simple.
Yeah, it's
Yeah.
simple.
But yeah, thank you for having me.
Yeah,
This was fun.
any final messages?
I don't know. I
No.
don't really have anything.
You're the only one who hasn't had a final message. I guess if you're gonna leave it like that.
Okay, we'll have a final message. I'd say that what makes Marvel Cinematic Universe special, I think, is the fact that it is able to grip so many genres. And it just goes back to what I said about action. I think if it was just fighting, it wouldn't be nearly as successful. But the fact that they are able to mix with psychological thriller we see in Winter Soldier, emotional drama we see in Endgame, psychedelic thriller we see in Doctor Strange, and just this mix of genres and the celebration of it all. That's what really makes it special. So just keep in mind that if you mix things together, it just makes it better.
Now that John is gone, I want to thank you guys for tuning in to my third episode of Making the Cut. Tune in next week for our last episode where we'll be learning about the romance genre with special guest Jess Stern. I would tell you guys the film, but as always, what incentive would you have to come back? So you gotta wait and see. It will be a surprise. It's a really good one. I think you'll love it. It's very different than what we've done so far, so I think it's a really good way of concluding it. And you guys can find me on Instagram, Abby Sternberg. It's one big thing, as I always say. No, it's all lowercase, no uppercase. It is ABBIESTERNBERG. And my Twitter is Abby Sternberg. All lowercase again, all one word, ABBIESTERNBERG. So please treat me what you guys like and anything you want me to change or add to make the show better for you guys. And don't forget to subscribe. To follow so you can get notifications every time a new episode comes on. Though especially be on the lookout for the next episode, which might be dropping within the next few days. Goodbye, y'all. Have a good night, and let's see if next week can make the cut.